Is it finally time to call it a day on Ralph Hasenhüttl?
Three defeats in a row against teams we should be beating.
And just a small matter of Haaland and Man City just around the corner.
Without further ado, this is Under the Lights. My name's Tom Murray.
My name's Callum Wilson. And this is Under the Lights.
Callum, is it all doom and gloom?
Unfortunately, it is a little bit at the moment. Recent performances, pressure on the manager, probably, as far as I can remember, the most obvious pending defeat that I can think of. I don't see a way around it. I'd love to be proven wrong, but yeah, I think the only silver lining is, and it sounds a little bit evil, this, but is the idea that we might finally make the change that a lot of fans have been crying for a while. And maybe the silver lining is that, you know, with it having not worked for so long, maybe a new manager will come in and maybe we'll see an upturn in fortunes.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be quite remarkable if we were to lose 9-0 again and he kept his job. Could you imagine? The only Premier League manager to survive not one, not two, but three 9-0 defeats.
Well, with the way Man City and Haaland are going, I think nine might be the least of our troubles. Nine just for one man. Yeah, it's. I mean, rumours have been circulating and they're becoming more and more vicious and frequent. And today, was it Thursday today, there's a lot of talk about how maybe the minds have been made up and Ralph Hasenhüttl is on borrowed time. They've talked about having a list of managers they want to bring in. Why do you think that the decision hasn't been made yet, or the decision to let Ralph go hasn't been made yet? Because after that Everton game, the writing seemed to be on the wall. Are they giving him this Man City game because yeah, he's on his way out anyway, and it would be a baptism of fire for a new manager, or is it maybe a case that their preferred manager's maybe not available when they're waiting, you know, biding their time?
I don't really know, because there's also the other option that the stuff in the media isn't completely true and they are willing to give Ralph even longer. But I know what you mean in terms of are they biding their time? I think was it you that put a tweet out a few weeks ago that said, what if it's a World Cup manager who's going to leave after the tournament? Because then if you make the decision, I think cause like United did with Van Gaal, they were going to get him after they agreed with it with him and then got him at the end of the 2014 World Cup. The World Cup period is a perfect time to make a change if you are going to.
Yeah, not so much a few weeks ago. I think it was this week, in fact, that because obviously more and more fans have jumped from backing the manager to saying it's time for a change. So the conversation all week really around Twitter and everywhere else has been, has he been sacked yet? And the question has always been, it's all well and good saying we need rid of him, but who is there that's available? And I feel like that's maybe been an argument in the past. But with the change of ownership and the money we've spent on the squad, we're not shopping from the same aisles anymore. We're not just looking at free agents. I think we're in a different space now where we're not looking at who's available. Where's Big Sam on the end of the phone? Sean Dyche, Rafa. You know, I think we've become accustomed to thinking that way for so long under the previous regime where we weren't going to pay any compensation to get a manager. Now, I get the feeling with the way in which Sport Republic have come in and identified players and spent money and backed Ralph, I get the feeling that if they've got a man in their sights and it might cost them a few million as opposed to a freebie, then they'll go down that route. With the internationals, just a thought crossed my mind when I was thinking who is available. It's such a unique season that there could be a number of managers that are available by the time the new year comes around that right now don't have the capacity to take over club management. I think Roberto Martinez, for instance, it looks like this is going to be his last tournament with Belgium, win or lose. And he, you know, he's someone who's had plenty of experience in the Premier League and plays good football. And I think would probably be a really good appointment. So there are all sorts of things. The other thing is, you know, right now we're kind of wait. It's almost like three or four teams or clubs are maybe waiting to see who folds first and who starts that managerial merry-go-round. Because if Nottingham Forest got rid of Steve Cooper, if Aston Villa got rid of Steven Gerrard, if Leicester got rid of Brendan Rodgers, which is now less likely after they hammered Forest the other day, suddenly does a manager become available that, although I said, you know, we might be willing to kind of pay the compensation fee to get a manager, if they're on the edge, are we just waiting for them to be pushed? You know, for lots of rumours that Steve Cooper is on our list. So yeah, we're it's all speculation, isn't it? But I think the point is that we're not just looking at the free agents and the lack of interesting candidates there. At the same time, that pool of free agents might, you know, become quite large pretty soon.
Have you seen some of the lists that people have come up with on Twitter? You've got the likes that are
I've seen
incredible.
some of them,
Mauricio
yes.
Pochettino at the top, then Scott Parker at the bottom as possible choices. And I'm thinking, not Scott Parker.
I
I say Pochettino,
saw
but it's never going to happen. I saw someone put Zidane in
I
their
saw
list.
Zidane next to Nigel Adkins. It's the first time that's ever been the case in any walk of life,
I
not just
know,
a
for
managerial
Zidane to be
listing.
in the company of that great man, so.
Look, I get the Pochettino thing. He would be everyone's first choice. We'd absolutely love him back here. And if it was any other club, Southampton size, people wouldn't even be considering it. It's just the fact that he's been here before. He has no job at the moment. And the question with Poch is, you know, is he at that top table anymore? You know, there aren't many big clubs that, there aren't many big clubs, full stop. So, you know, any manager that's waiting for the big jobs might be waiting quite a while. At the same time, you know, he's deemed to have failed at PSG. Deemed to have failed at Tottenham, hasn't won anything. Is it has his stock come down? You know, he's been out of work for long enough now that maybe to get back into it, he would look at going to a club at that next level, building them into something like he did with us before, and then getting a big move. So, yeah, I can see why people are looking at it. I don't think it would happen, but I think we've got a better chance than most clubs our size, because you know he's obviously got a good relationship with the club and the fans.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fantastic if he came back. And there was a rumour that, obviously, it's all paper talk, but when Steven Gerrard was on the brink of maybe getting the sack at Aston Villa, that Pochettino was a realistic target for them. And you think, if he's a realistic target for Aston Villa, then this new Saints, like the size of the stature of the club with the new ownership, you think Saints would have just as much pull as Aston Villa, considering the ties to him before. But as we say, it's all speculation. We don't even know if Ralph is actually going to get the sack yet. It's just rumours. I don't, th and I know it's wishful thinking, but we could easily. Well, I'll stop myself there. We could easily no. We might do the impossible and not lose at Manchester City. I'm not going to put any money on that. I wouldn't even want to try. But it's. Do you personally, Karen, do you think it's time for him to go?
Wow, I think we both know the answer to that because we've said it was time for him to go probably 6 to 9 months ago, really, didn't we? We've been in that camp for a while now. Throughout that wretched run of form in the early part of the year, which wasn't the first time that happened, it's happened again. With Ralph, there's been peaks and troughs, but now it seems that we haven't even got the peaks. And with the type of form that he's had, I can't remember. You might have the stats on your person, but you know the amount of points, or isn't it 12 points in the last 60, or three wins in
Oh yeah, it was
20
sick.
odd games or something. It's just, yeah, we're not even getting the good form. In the last 2 seasons, an unbelievable run of good form has kept us in the division when we've managed to go half a season with one win. The problem is now the form is pretty bad, and I don't see that upturn. I don't see the same sort of charisma that he's had in the past. I don't see that arrogance, that confidence. I still don't see the team playing for him. Bar the Chelsea game.
We haven't seen his style of pressing that he brought immediately in when he joined for a
No.
long, long time.
He's changed as a manager. He's changed his philosophy. He's tried so many things. He's tried so many things, but at the same time, he's tried so little because it's frustrating how sort of stubborn he's been. But then he's tried things that really, they're just not his style of management. And yeah, it's become stale. Everything he tries doesn't work. And it just seems every team sheet he puts out, every formation he chooses for games, you know before the game starts that it's the wrong one. Yeah, and the argument has always been that he hasn't had any money to spend. Well, he has now. We've got players in the squad that should be beating teams, putting in better performances. I mean, the last three performances have been absolutely diabolical. We may have only lost all three games by one goal, but the actual lack of football and the performance, embarrassing to watch those games. And it's not even like we're losing games, but we're putting up a fight. But there's no bravery on the ball. There's no aggression. It's nothing that you would expect from a Ralph Hasenhüttl team, and that we saw early on when he came in. I think that's the main issue now.
Yeah, there just doesn't seem to be that drive in the side, and it was particularly apparent in the game against Aston Villa, where there was 6 minutes or so to go, 1-0 down, and they were just playing it around the back, and everyone was static, not making a movement. And then eventually, it went back to Bazunu, who just launched it up the pitch to Shea Adams, who had absolutely no one around him to collect a knockdown. And that's when what's most disappointing as well is we got that fantastic win against Chelsea. And you saw the backs against the wall. We created some good chances. You thought, hang on, we've got like this. Maybe this could be different. Like the signings are working. To follow that game up against three teams that were below us at the time, in poor form, and to not turn up. Yes, of course, we were a Shea Adams not handling the ball against Wolves away from a point. But even so, that was the only chance I can remember that we actually created in that game. The Aston Villa one, I don't really want to talk about too much anymore because there's a non-performance. And then against Everton, yeah, we created chances at the end. But the first half, you just keep on thinking, okay, today's the day it's going to click. It just never does.
Yeah, you're spot on, really. Wolves have just sacked their manager after a terrible run of form. Something like, again, I don't know exactly, but
I think
something
it was
like one win in the
one win
last.
in 14, and of course that way
Yeah,
against
that
us.
was against us. Yeah, it was against Saints. So, it's typical of us. The Aston Villa game was, had been dubbed the worst game in Premier League history. And we managed to, Aston Villa managed to get 3 points from that. We did absolutely nothing. We played no football whatsoever. And then the same happened again at the weekend. The first half, I've had this conversation with people, and it's been a bit of a debate. I don't really see how it is. I wonder sometimes if you see things, with some bias because you've been watching your side, and when they do something good, that's what you remember. Especially when it's so few and far between. But Everton absolutely ran us ragged for that first 45 minutes. We were shocking. We struggled to get two passes together. We even struggled to clear the ball from our own box. And as soon as we got the ball back, they swarmed us. Two or three players, every single time one of ours had the ball, no space whatsoever. They hunted us down. And then when they had it, they played it around us like we weren't even there. How we managed to get in at nil-nil is beyond me. That says probably a lot about Everton's finishing and lack of finishes in the side. And then second half, we came out and, it looked like Ralph had put a bit of a rocket up their ass for once, and they came out and we got that goal early. And I was commentating on the game thinking to myself, how the hell are we 1-0 up? But within 5 minutes, Everton realised they needed to put their foot on the gas. Got two goals, two easy goals. Once again, set pieces, coaching. You know, we're not set up properly from set pieces. Frank Lampard made a really shrewd tactical change where he put Onana closer to the centre forward, used his height, got him in the box where he wasn't tracked, and the two goals came from that. So, and there was nothing, there was no retaliation. You know, we made subs. He's been, you know, he doesn't usually make subs early, but he was forced to do so, and he did make some after we went down. Adam Armstrong came on and he was good. But again, it was just changing players like for like. There was no obvious
change in shape or anything like that.
Yeah, change in shape or style or plan. And you mentioned about going back to Bazunu. That's what we do now. I put a tweet out the other day. Someone put one of the Twitter accounts that every now and again they'll show an old Saints goal when, you know, it happened on this day. And there was a goal, Romeo against West Brom, that volley a few years back, if you remember. And the build-up, it wasn't spectacular, but we got the ball. We played a couple of 1-2-touch passes, got it on the overlap, pulled it back, and he scored. And I thought to myself, I can't remember the last time Saints did that. We play it around the centre-backs. Then as soon as anyone even sniffs or gets within shadows distance of one of them, they go back to Bazunu. Or the left centre backs, Celeste Shaw or Salisu, and then they'll Bazunu and they'll go straight up to Adams. And we did that against Everton, against Cody and Tarkowski. We did it over and over again. And really, I just thought it's pathetic now. We've become a defensive hoofball team. We might as well have Dyche or Allardyce in charge if Ralph Arsenal was going to play that way, because at least they know how to do it. And it's not even exciting anymore. We're losing. The performances are drab. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing that tells me that it's worth keeping hold of him. Like, absolutely nothing whatsoever.
No, I completely agree. I was with I was of the mindset when the takeover happened and they said this is going to be an exciting summer and they're going to back Ralph. And I know we brought in a good number of players and they're good signings. They are. I'm still positive about the players that we've brought in and the impact that they can have and the potential they have. But I thought Ralph can work his magic with this. Like, just give him a chance. He's now got money. Let's see if it's different. He's finally got, you know, squad depth. And I know that they're young and they're learning, but you just see the same mannerisms time and time again. And apart from the games against Leeds, Spurs and Chelsea, where we've come from behind to get points in the first time in ages, we've gone back to now feeling
Leicester
like...
Leicester rather than Spurs.
Oh, yeah. Leicester.
We threw that one away.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think the two games that we've actually scored the first goal, we've lost this season, so great. But it's gone back to that. Do you remember that rut, the rut for the last sort of couple of years, where if the other team scored, even if it was in the first minute of the match, you knew that Southampton weren't going to get anything out of it?
What if they scored first?
If the other team scored first, you just knew. I think it was the Everton game last season where Richarlison scored inside the first like 5 minutes, and you think, we got the whole game left. Saints are going to pass it around, but they're not going to score.
Yeah, it changed this season, didn't it? Because, like you said, Leeds and then Leicester and then Chelsea, and all of our points so far have come from losing positions. And there was a bit of, you know, tongue-in-cheek optimism that, you know, it's okay if we go behind because that's when we win games now. But that was just a run at the time. But, there's not much more to say on this, really. But, yeah, the money came in. Ralph was backed. He's now got players, he's now got a squad, but it doesn't look like he knows what to do with them. It doesn't look like he knows his best 11. And we're in a position now where, you know, I see Ralph on the touchline, or I hear him in the press conferences, and the way he looks, the things he says, he looks like a defeated man. He looks like he knows time's up. And to be honest, it looks like he just doesn't even want to be there. And you hear the rumours, I know they're rumours, but that he doesn't speak to the players and that his man management has never been there. And, you know, I don't know, when we're winning games and we had a spell where, we were winning every game and went to the top of the league, nothing was coming out then, was it? But I don't know. I think he's lost the dressing room. I know there was talk of players that had issues and raised it to the board, and they may or may not have been sold or gone out on loan. But yeah, I don't see the players playing from too often. And inevitably, when we go a goal or two down this weekend, I can see a group of players losing confidence, downing tools, and a manager doing the same. So yeah, we need to act now, like Wolves have done, like I'm sure other teams will do. We need to get in there and get our preferred candidate in, not before it's too late, because we're not even in the relegation zone yet. But there's no point in leaving it.
No, it seems like this team really needs a shake up. Let's talk about the game this weekend. It's pretty much 99.9% likely that Manchester City and their Nordic beast are going to trounce us. It's strange because Saints, like, here's a stat for you. Southampton under Arsenal in the league have kept three clean sheets in their last 32 matches, just three. But this season, if there is one improvement, is that they are conceding less
We're still
recently.
the only side that hasn't kept a clean sheet all season, aren't
Exactly.
we?
It's a weird one. We've improved defensively, but not got any clean sheets to show for it. And of course, we're coming up against the in-form player in the world at the moment. He's got a goal. Like a goal or an assist at the moment every 42, every 43 minutes. As much as we like Bella Kotchap, Salisu, Chalata Sarr, if we stop Haaland scoring this weekend, someone else is going to do it for him. But this is genuinely a game where I really fear that we could be conceding close to 10.
Fucking hell. Right, on that positive note, yeah, I mean, Haaland is, look, you said he scored or assisted in every game this season. The only game he hasn't, he's played 9 games in the Premier League, and the only one he didn't score in was against Bournemouth, that second game of the season,
Who
where he
gets
did
Scott
get
Parker in
the,
just for the get for this weekend?
yeah, he only had eight touches of the ball, still got an assist. He scored in every game otherwise. Apart from that Bournemouth game, or since then, their last three home games, he scored a hat trick in every single one of them. So they're at home against us. So writing's on the wall there. I've had a think about this, and I'm of the opinion that Saints are in poor form, and this is not a good time. Whereas it is a good time to play Saints, but certainly not a good time for us to come up against Man City. But I think there's a good chance that we might be coming up against the best team that we've ever played in the Premier League. I
Yeah.
think there's a and I know it's early days with Haaland being there, but you think about how good Man City have been for the last 5 years, winning almost every Premier League. And they've been crying out for a number nine, has been the case, but they've still been winning these leagues. And then they get the best number nine in world football, and he takes off quicker than anyone thought. I just feel like this side is going to become really quickly the best side the Premier League's ever seen. We did talk about the treble winning United side and the Invincibles and that Chelsea team under Mourinho and the recent Man City and Liverpool sides, but to be as good as Man City have been, as dominant in the Premier League as they have been, and then to add this guy just isn't really fair, is it, on everyone else? And
Have you seen the genuine petition to get Erling Haaland to remove him from the Premier League because he's a robot?
I mean, when it's not against Saints, I'm quite happy watching him and them. And this is probably the first team that I could think of in a while where I thought to myself, I'd actually just quite like watching them play. They might come to St. Mary's of course, will support the team, but I'll have an eye on watching the way they play. And I'm quite happy to just put the TV on and think, oh, Man City are on TV this weekend, as is most weekends. Oh, I'll make sure I catch that because they're just playing incredible stuff. De Bruyne and Haaland, wow, they must share the same mind because they know exactly what's happening. That goal at the weekend was disgusting. Foden's chipping in with a hat-trick. Grealish is looking really, really good. Just needs to add goals and assists to his game. Yeah, they're too good for everyone in this league, let alone Saints.
See that comment very quickly. There was a comment saying that it was a fantastic goal, the Haaland one. Well, which one? But that chip ball from De Bruyne, and he's down on the floor, like seeing the bounce, like reading the bounce of the ball before he's even got connection. And someone said, any other defender that's taller than Martinez heads that away. I'm thinking, are you not taking it into account that De Bruyne knows how high he is, how high he needs to put the ball for Haaland? And if it was someone a bit taller, he would have put that into his mind and changed the pass somewhat.
Yeah, yeah. He's played the ball because of what's in front of him. And if you watch that goal again, and you watch it, it's hard not to watch it from an attacking point of view, but you try and watch it from Varane's point of view. You know, he's been one of the best defenders in world football for God knows how long. There's absolutely nothing he can do at any stage in that whole thing. There's nothing he can do about it. You watch it from his point of view and think, what the hell is this guy supposed to do? Doesn't matter who you are. You can't defend that. You know, the same would happen with Saints, same would happen with any other defence. How do we go about trying to stem the flow, trying to get something miraculously from this game? Do we just have to play 11 defenders? I feel like Salisu has to play in this game because although Haaland is a different beast, that's when Salisu's at his best, when he comes up against someone strong, fast, where he has to track their runs. Saw him do it at Leicester against Vardy. I've seen him do it against, I think, the better players that he comes up against and those players that like to run in behind, maybe just shit versions of Haaland, that's when he plays his best. And I can't help but feel that all three of them will have to play as a bare minimum.
Mm.
But it's going to be a real tough one. I think five at the back. We can't afford to let Kyle Walker-Peters play as a right winger, which is a strategy that Arsene Hurtel has employed over and over again. It's cost us goals, cost us against Wolves, cost us a goal, Dwight McNeil's goal against Everton, because I think he had to tuck in on the centre-back. We need to put the reins on him, especially since we haven't had a defender who can hit a crossfield ball since Vestergaard, when that seemed to be the way in which we got all of our attacks going. So, yeah, he needs to be reined in. I think Perot, probably put Gineppo in front of Perot as a second left-back. Ward-Prowse, Maitland-Niles, Diallo, Elianussi on the other side because he runs back a lot, and then just leave one bloke up. I say up top, he'll be on the edge of our own box.
What about having Adam Armstrong just as that striker, just to do all of the running, like in the Shane Long role, just to try?
Yeah, I feel we'll just knacker him out. I think you've probably just got to play Che Adams up there and hope he can hold the ball up. We saw that against Leicester when we were actually sitting back the whole time and it went up to Mara, and every time it just bounced off him, Che Adams came on and managed to trap that ball. But I mean, it's all relative, isn't it, really? Because
can we take a solace perhaps that Ralph is yet to actually be thrashed at Manchester City?
Maybe. If you're looking for a degree of solace somewhere.
We should have won last season at Manchester City with the penalty. That ridiculous VAR decision. But then again, Manchester City didn't have Haaland.
And we were better back then. Not the squad necessarily, but we weren't, you know, in terms of our belief and Ralph and everything. I just feel like, you know, it's all, we're there for hiding this time. Ralph, the writing's on the wall. We've got a young team. I'll be interested to see how Ralph goes about it because it seems like the obvious thing to do is to park the bus. He has done that at times before and played on the counter-attack, and he's certainly done that more recently against all teams away from home, let alone City. But we've also seen him, like last season against Man City, where it was nil-nil, wasn't it, I think? But that wasn't because we sat back and defended. We went at them and we were the better side and we took them on. And I just wonder if he'll have the ego and the arrogance to think that worked last time. I know there was no Haaland, but that still worked against Man City last time. Let's just do that again. What have we got to lose? Or does he do, like he did against Chelsea before, where we've not this season, but previously, where we've gone man for man and just played them, one on one. I don't know. There seems like no right answer. It'll be interesting to see how he goes about it, but I feel like it will be his last hurrah. Imagine, like you said, if he pulls off a win, can you sack him if that was the case?
So thanks, Ralph. I know you've just got a famous win against Manchester City. Haaland has got sent off, and everything's rosy, and we're first on match of the day. But it's time to go. The door's over there.
I feel like that happened to someone in the Premier League, maybe last season or not too long ago, where they'd already made the decision to get rid of them, but for whatever reason they still had to play a game or two, and they played some tough teams or a tough team, and they managed to get a really good result, and then they got sacked anyway. And I cannot for the life of me remember who it was. Someone will have to tweet me if they listen to this and they know. But yeah, I think they went away and got a result at Man City or something, and then the decision already been made.
Thought of a positive for this game. Okay, now this is quite the positive, so bear with me. We don't have to play them away again this season after this game.
Rather play them away when we have a half decent manager in charge and we're in a better place. Just briefly, after Man City. I mean, it can't get any worse, can it? Because, Man City are the best team in world football. But I know you wanted briefly to touch on fixtures coming up. Again, pie in the sky, hypothetical, all speculation. But if this was to be Arsenal's last game, then there's an 8-day period until our next game, which will be next Sunday against West Ham. Then we have a midweek away game at the Vitality against Bournemouth. Then we welcome a really good Arsenal side to St Mary's. Go away to Crystal Palace, which is no easy game. And then have a home game against Newcastle, who are also doing well this year. So there's a period of games where you could get some points. There's a new manager that's not, I guess, a decent kind of mix of games to come into, and then we have Liverpool before the World Cup comes along. Looking at it now, actually, I haven't even thought about this before, but after the World Cup, we've got a fantastic run of seven or eight fixtures there, which I won't bore you with the details, but
I know it's like Brighton, Fulham, Brentford, that sort of run of.
they're all winnable. So, if we did get a guy in after the World Cup, he'd come into a nice run of fixtures. I just wonder what he would come into in terms of position in the table, which is the worry. I'm not sure Ralph will make it that long,
What I'd like to
but
think in terms of coming up to that run of fixtures is to give just to like just to support Ralph ever so slightly. The fact that Saints weren't able to get a 30 to 40 million pound attacker striker over the line. I mean, I don't want to look again at the stats of Cody Gakpo currently in the Eredivisie. He is being absolutely sensational for them. So you think that would price Saints out of a January move? But I know we've got Boxing Day and another game before New Year's Day. But you just like to think that maybe. Instead of wait, and I know the market doesn't work like that, and teams are going to hold on to their players until deadline day in January. But you'd like to think that Saints can get an attacking signing, a big attacking signing sewn up for like day one in January. A pie in the sky, as always.
would be nice, wouldn't it? I mean, we're way ahead. I think we've managed to find our way into January already when England would have won the World Cup by then. And yeah, this is 3 odd months away. But yeah, I feel like we're going down the route of make believe here because we're talking about a manager we don't have and 3 months' time. But yeah, the thing is, Gakpo isn't even a striker, is he? So you say attacker, but we were looking, he was looking for a wide 10. What happened to this guaranteed £30 million striker, as in a replacement for Broya, if not Broya himself? That's I don't know who's in charge of that and whose fault that is, but that is an absolute car crash there, because I don't understand how it takes them this long. They've got plenty of time in the window, and Ralph was guaranteeing this with like 3 to 4 weeks before the window even shut. So I can't believe they were working at it night and day, and just couldn't get it over the line for however many targets they had. They left it too late. They obviously tried to get it on the cheap towards the end of the window in order to try and force teams to sell. And it blew up on our faces, really, didn't it? That's become obvious because we are struggling to score goals.
Yeah, and mate, I don't think the early season form of Shea Adams helped getting those 4 goals in the space of 2 matches, thinking, oh, okay, we might be all right. But I think also maybe the fact that they were getting all of the, it could be that they were getting signals from PSV that a deal for Gakpo could be done. So they thought, okay, this is a signing we can do. We can get this player for 30 odd million pounds. And then, of course, it didn't seem like they had any backup because when the rug was pulled from underneath them and they PSV decided they were going to keep him, it sort of left them a bit high and dry with no attacking player. And I can understand then if you're sat on 30 to 40 million pounds, you don't want to then just go and buy a striker for the sake of it. But it is a signing that Southampton needed and was evident against Everton, I thought, because Adam Armstrong, he came on, I thought he did well, but let's face it, if you've got a high quality striker, he's putting at least one of those chances that we created towards the end away.
Yeah, definitely. Chad, as you can see, how annoyed he was in that Everton game, where that, especially at 1-1 against Pickford, there's absolutely no way that should end in anything other than a goal. Time, space, couldn't have put it in a better position, was in the box, almost had too much time, and it was a poor finish. But yeah, I think a move for a striker in January is important. But right now, we've got plenty of games before that happens. And we'll think the writing's on the wall for Ralph. I just wonder if Man City will be the ones to put the final nail in the coffin. And maybe the next time we do a podcast, we'll be talking about the speculation of who the new man is going to be, not whether there's going to be one or whether we're going to stick with Ralph.
Yeah, and we've got to end it on this though, Callum. We've got to do our predictions.
Oh no.
I am going to go for, I reckon it'll probably be 5-0 to Man City and they'll just ease up after five.
Yeah, I'll go 6. I think they're just too damn good, aren't they?
I take a 5-0, to be honest.
Yeah, oh, 100%. 100%, I'd take a 5-0. It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? But the combination of how poor we've been and just how damn good they are. What I would be happy with is if someone stuck the boot in on Haaland after 5 minutes, and he had to go off injured, just with the one goal to his name already.
Having shot straight from kickoff.
I know, right? Right, let's leave it there then, because it's a bit of a downbeat podcast, and I'm hoping that those days will be behind us pretty soon, and there'll be something to raise our spirits. I don't think it will come Saturday, but I wonder if it will come courtesy of the boardroom, and maybe a new era for the Saints. But if you enjoy the podcast and you want to get in contact with us at all, you can find The podcast Twitter at underscore Saints. You can find me at Callum Wilson 21.
You can find me at T214 Murray. Different title for the podcast today. We're going to call it the Under the Weather podcast because it's just been so doom and gloom for the entirety of it. But
very good. Yes,
we want to know your predictions. How many? Double figures? Triple? Have you actually, on the basis of triple, have you triple captain Haaland? Because
who's backing Saints to get a result, and why and how? That's what we want to know. Not
and
just
how
anyone
much
going
drunk.
Yeah, don't want to just be that guy who's like, oh no, Saints will get the win, and then come back to it and say I called it, because I can't see how it will ever happen. But there's got to be someone out there who's backing us to maybe hold them to another 0-0.
Let us know. I mean, they don't have Kyle Walker. He's out with injury, and he always got a little bit pissed off every time that we came to him. He's like, oh, you're not playing football. But hey, anything to get a point. Callum, a pleasure as always. And I'm going to go and hide behind the sofa until about 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Yes, don't look at the score. A pleasure as always. Thanks for listening. And as ever,
stay safe, stay wonderful. Watch out for Erling Haaland.